Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I got an email yesterday that kind of changed the perspective on how I thought. Yes, I read every email I get, believe it or not, I do. I try to respond to as many as I can as well. But I posted my commentary this week at newswithviews.com, and there's always a little bit of delay when when people read it. You know, sometimes it's a couple days later, people say, oh, just read it, yada, 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 yada. And I got a comment yesterday, and I don't know whether they meant it to be a compliment or not, but I took it as one. They said, Coach, the reason you're not effective is you're too much of a disruptor. And I just kind of sat back and smiled when I read that. We need some disruption, don't we? How could, in this day and age, with everything that's going on the Luciferian left, how can I be too much of a disruptor? In fact, when I was coaching basketball, yes, I did that too. I coached girls basketball, and I had this one player. I won't say her name because I don't want to embarrass her. She was not very good. Couldn't count on her to score many points. She might make a layup, but she couldn't shoot. She played hard, and sometimes when things would get stagnant in the game, I would put her in because she was a disruptor. She would change the entire tempo on the floor. She was all over the place. Anybody know what I'm talking about out there? Lord, give us some disruptors. Give us some disruptors. And I just look at what's going on around me. I look at what's going on in the political realm. There aren't any disruptors. Can you name any disruptors? Now they say, yeah, Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan's a disruptor. I said, no.
No.
Listen, I don't know Jim Jordan, so I don't want to, God bless him for all he's doing. But Jim Jordan, he talks about disruption, but he never really disrupts.
Trump was a disruptor.
And we're still dealing with his disruption, haven't we? Things still have not settled down. Jim Jordan talks like a disruptor, but nothing ever happens. And those of you who watch our show know that I'm all about what happens. I'm not about talk. Talk is cheap. We need some disruptors in America. We need some disruptors. And the reason I'm so pumped up today, I really am kind of pumped up this morning. It's Flea Flicker Friday. And I really try hard on Flea Flicker Friday to let you guys make the topic. But I got to get this out of me. And I believe this will start us a good discussion. I spoke yesterday at Worthington Kilborn High School to three classes of seniors, college-bound seniors, and had the opportunity. One of them I got to openly share the gospel. It was really, really good. Huh. Oh, I heard you. See, folks, sharing the gospel is not always the initial thing to do. I'm just telling you, we have this thing so backwards. I rarely lead with the J word. I rarely lead with the B word. Rarely. I penetrate and pierce their heart so they want to know, why do you think the way you think, Coach? Oh, thank you for asking. Rather than going in and hammering over the head with Jesus and the Bible. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Our kids in public schools are so lost. And the kids aren't lost because they're in public schools. Kids are lost because they're in public churches. That's what I think. So I came away yesterday always glad for the opportunity to be able to go there. And oh, I was a disruptor. Oh my goodness, I was a disruptor. But you know what was really exciting about it? I do this a couple times a year. It was my second time. I was there 2 months ago. I was at this school 2 months ago, and they students at the end of the semester, the teacher, I won't say his name, asked them who they would like to have back, and they wanted me back. So I got to go yesterday and give them another dose of truth. We're in trouble, friends. We're really in trouble. Because these are good kids, I think. I would imagine they're going to be college kids. They're going to go, you know, they're good. But can I want to, it's Friday. I need to do some announcements, but I'm not going to do any announcements right now. I got to jump off here, and then we'll weave into it if we can here, okay? And I wrote up on the board yesterday. I wish I had a whiteboard here. I would do it. But I started out with this. I wrote up on the board, normal. And I asked them, as I'm asking you today, what is normal? I'm just pausing. I don't want you to answer me. I just want you to think. People say we want to go back to, this is the new normal. Or I want to go back to normal. What's normal? And then after that discussion went on for a little bit, I said, okay, what is abnormal? It makes them uncomfortable. First of all, that right there makes them uncomfortable. And I said, would anybody in here admit, raise your hand publicly here and admit that transgenderism is abnormal? Folks, they wouldn't raise their hands. They wouldn't raise their hands. I said, listen, I'm not asking whether you love transgenders or hate transgender or discriminate against trans. I'm just asking you, do you think a man dressing like a woman is normal? They would not raise their hands. And so as we went down through the litany of normal, throw it up there, Spencer. I put that up there today. Normal, what's normal? Webster says normal. Nope, you got abnormal. I don't want to start there. I'm going to start with normal. Just type it in if you have to, bud. Normal is according to a square or rule, perpendicular, forming a right angle. That's not what I've thought of. But according to a rule or principle, relating to rudiments or elements, teaching rudiments or first principles. And by the way, Mark Trump, would be very proud of me, because I started out writing on the board first truth and showed them what first truth was, took them through the whole idea of a first truth. How many of you were taught to believe in Santa Claus? Of course, every hand goes in the air. When did you learn that there wasn't a Santa Claus? And they would say, when I was five, when I was six. How did you learn it? Oh, another kid at school told me, blah, blah. How did you feel about it when you found out there wasn't? And did any of you cry when you found out there wasn't a Santa Claus? Did you go home to your mom and dad and say, is there not a Santa Claus? And then your mom and dad have to admit to you that you were lying? Well, that hits everybody, right? I said, so is it any wonder then that at that first truth that you have, that your parents would never, ever, you'd always trust your parents. You never, ever would lie to you. Your parents lied to you about Santa Claus. Do you then get to be a senior in high school and you go to college and say, my parents told me there was a Santa Claus and they told me there's a God. Oh, I get it. And we don't even realize that through our own, how would I say it? Compliancy, if that is even a word, how we are all totally programmed to fall in line with normal. And the problem that we have, put up abnormal, Spencer, the problem that we have, my friends, is we will no longer demand normal in America. We are driving everybody towards abnormal. An abnormality, according to Mr. Webster, is irregularity or deformity. And I asked the students, what is wrong? Why can't we be honest? I said, look, would you guys agree with me that Shaquille O'Neal is abnormal? Would you agree with me? The dude's 7'2", 380 pounds. Have you ever seen a guy that big? Well, no, they all agree that that's abnormal. Said, well, okay, so abnormalities can also be good, right? And we're not talking about whether or not abnormalities are good or bad. We're just talking about whether what's normal and what's abnormal. Yeah, okay. So you look around all the spectrum here in this classroom, and don't raise your hand because I'm not trying to embarrass any of you, but how many of you have same-sex attraction? And, of course, nobody raises their hands. I said, why would it be? Would it be two of the 20 of you? 10%? If you were to be honest, say, yeah, I'm same-sex attracted. Can I ask you a question? Is that normal? Oh, they get, can I use the word? They get pissed. So I'm not judging anybody here. That's not what I'm doing. I'm asking you, is there a normal? Is there a normal in America anymore? What is normal? And can't you see that everywhere you look, they are trying to get you to accept as normal that which is abnormal? Why can't we just say that? And then I got to go into the whole idea with Bruce Jenner. I love going to Bruce Jenner. Oh, it makes them so angry. And I went into the whole thing about the swimmer at Pennsylvania breaking all the girls' records. Folks, they don't care. I've never seen anything like it. There are some great athletes, girl athletes, the teacher told me, in those classrooms. And I said, do you mean to tell me that you're going to go work hard and diet and get up in the morning and go to training and do everything you want to and then go to your meet and get beat by a guy and that doesn't bother you? Because, see, they don't understand normal. Because everywhere we look, it's abnormal, and we want people to think abnormal's normal. Abnormal's normal. And here's what's happened to us. If you would take me and pluck me up and set me down in 1776, I think I'd be normal. If you pick me up and you pluck me down in 2021, I ain't normal. So the question, I'm talking from a Christian perspective here, right? From a Christian perspective. So what is it what we're supposed to do as we confront what's going on into society if we cannot come up with a standard of what we consider normal? Normal people get married to someone of the opposite sex. Normal people get a job and raise a family. See, normal people aren't homeless. Those people aren't normal. They're abnormal. Doesn't make them bad people. But that's not normal. That's abnormal. And if you are a boy and you want to wear girls' clothing, friends, that isn't normal. That is abnormal. Doesn't make you a bad person, but it isn't normal. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves, friends, today is what is normal and by what standard do we determine what is normal? And will we as a society come along and say once again, this is normal and this isn't? And there's certain things that aren't normal, such as raping little children. It is abnormal and we want to normalize it, see? That's what the enemy does. The enemy wants to change normal. We've heard it, right?
Amen.
This is the new normal. This is the new normal. Well, the old normal used to be everyone stood at their desk and put their hand over their heart and said a pledge of allegiance to the flag and said a prayer. That was the old normal, wasn't it? At what point did the old normal become abnormal? What point did it happen? And we are living in a time and a place where we are totally, completely driven by the abnormal. The abnormal. And I spoke the other day about how I get on Facebook and all of a sudden, you know, naked women, partially naked women pop up on my screen trying to tempt me, right? Do you understand? Do you understand how abnormal beauty is? Do you realize that the average person you look at really ain't pretty? They're not in any magazines. Why? Because they're normal. They're normal. And what do? I watch these girls that we glorify who don't have any pride in themselves, but they strip their bodies down to show just the most, to hide just the most intimate part, just hide it, and not understand that by doing it, they are sex objects. That's all they are. People are, see, you didn't even choose your body shape. I wouldn't have chosen this one. I'd want to be 6 foot six, 245, broadened shoulders, narrow at the hips, and everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. That's what I'd have chosen. But if you go look at statistics, I'm 5 foot seven. Did you know that's normal? And so all around us, we see a lot of abnormal people. If you're 6'5", you're abnormal. Doesn't make you a bad person. But see, we cannot do that, friends, with morality. We can't do that. One of those beautiful girls, those Playboy pinups, hey, they had nothing to do with looking like that. That was the luck of the draw. They got the right genes from mom and dad, and it came together, and they got big boobs, and they got narrow hips, except now they're putting fat women on there. That's the new normal. Are you noticing that? Anybody know? No, you don't look at porn, so hopefully you don't. But now we have what they call oversized models, right? So the whole thing is about the destruction of normal. And I'm one more. I'd spend 17 minutes. I didn't want to go this long. One more thing here, Spencer. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. We were formed in our mother's womb. Spencer, pull up form, because I want to take you through a real quick trip here today, because this is where we are. This is what the gospel is all about. We were formed. God formed us in my mother's womb. And it's the shape or extreme appearance of a body. The figure as defined by lines, angles, the manner of being peculiar to each body, formed. Manner of arranging particulars, disposition. We are formed. You take clay and you form it. You form it. And we end up with beautiful Playboy playmates and ugly old witches. But all of them fearfully and wonderfully made. And we would admit this, those girls in Playboy, they're not normal. They're abnormal. You don't see those walking into Kroger's. They're abnormal. Right? So their body was formed the way that the Lord made them to be formed. And we so focus on the beautiful abnormal that it hinders the rest of it. So the Lord formed us. And then we are, for other words, I've done this before, but some of you are new to us. Then we get deformed. You have to type that one in, Spencer. Deform. What's it mean to be deformed? To mar or injure in the form. To alter that form or disposition of parts which is natural and esteemed beautiful. We have been deformed. We were formed, and now we've been deformed. We've marred it. We've injured it. We've rendered it displeasing or disgusting. It's been deformed. Our justice system is deformed. Our educational system is deformed. That's different than malformed. Type that one in, Spencer. What happens if something is malformed? Malformation. Ill or wrong formation. If you are born with a birth defect, that is a malformation. Wrong, something irregular or anomalous formation of structure. Well, what's that word, Spencer? What's an anomaly? What's an anomaly? Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. An anomaly is an irregularity, a deviation from the common rule. Thus, oxen is plural of ox, not oxes, right? That's an anomaly, an unusual formation. Not necessarily good. We call them, what, idiot savants? That's an anomaly, right? But then we have the need to try to reform. That's the process. See, America's been deformed, and now we're trying to reform America. But how do you reform America? How do we do it? How do you reform? That's the word. To change from worse to better, to amend, to correct, to restore to a former good state. That's why John, my buddy John, says there's a great awakening. There's a rude awakening before the great awakening. There's a reformation going on right now before us, right in front of us. There's a reformation in the church. There's a reformation in government. There's a reformation in the family. It's happening right before it. It has to happen, right? But there's only way that it can ever really make a difference, and that's what the young people in that room couldn't understand yesterday, is there has to be a transforming, a transformation. Now, what does it mean to transform, Spencer? Because they all have to do with the same thing. It all has to do with the lump of clay. To transform is what? To change the form of. To change the shape or appearance. To metamorphose as a caterpillar transformed into a butterfly. And the Bible says what? That we have to be reformed? No. We have to be malformed? No, we have to be transformed. Transformed in theology. To change the natural disposition and temper of a man from a state of enmity or anger to God and his law into the image of God and into a disposition and temper conformed by the will of God. A transformation. Be transformed. How? Romans 12. By the way you think. The renewing of your mind. And I drew up on the board. Yet I'm going to open it up here just a second. I drew it up on the board yesterday. Great big capital G-O-D. God. I put an X to it. And then right beside G-O-D, I put little lowercase levels, G-O-D. God. Big God, little God. And I ask him a very simple question. Which God do you serve? And what is your God? And how do you recognize whether something's a God over you? How do you recognize that? I wrote it up on the board. How do you recognize it? You serve it, right? You love it. It controls every aspect of your life. You follow its rules. What God are you serving? Folks, they were spellbound. And then I told them the old Bob Dylan song, you got to serve somebody. It's funny, some of them had heard the song. And I planted it in your brain, their brain. Are you serving? Shows my age. Are you serving MTV? Are you serving CNN? Are you serving? I named off a couple sports stars. Is that who you're serving? I want to be like Mike. That's it. And our whole society gets formed over who the individual wants to serve. How does that even work? So I'm asking the grown-ups today, who are we serving? When it gets right down to it, we claim to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah, but in our hearts we don't, because we know that the Bible tells us that our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all men. Who could possibly know it? Really, in your life, do you hear that small, still voice and obey? Or do you serve another God? Do you serve another voice? Because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not hear. It doesn't mean they don't hear. How does the Lord know if you heard his voice? How does he know? You obey. This ain't hard. My sheep hear my voice, And because they hear my voice, another voice they're not going to hear. I already heard it. And that, my friends, is what normal in culture and society is all about. And are we ever going to return to a firm foundation where the scriptures say, can two walk together lest they agree? Can we walk together agreeing that transgenderism is normal? Can we walk together agreeing that? Well, of course not. And what is the Luciferian left trying to do? They're trying to convince you that you have to conform to the world. You have to conform to what they tell you. Then you will be normal. When you think like everybody else who's lost, you are normal. And if you want to stand up and call transgenderism wrong and a sin and speak against masturbation, oh yeah, I did that, and speak about against premarital sex, you are abnormal. See, we flipped it. We have flipped it. We flipped it. So we need a transformation. We need a reformation and a transformation, or a transformation and then a reformation. That's our only hope. And if we think that that transformation or that reformation is going to come without Jesus Christ at the center of it, you are dumber than a rock.
Amen.
And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to change the world through political action rather than internal spiritual transformation. It's the only thing that will work. We must demand Christianity be taught to our children again. If it is not, we will not survive. I'm done. Come on in, Clay.
Well, I was just going to say, we homeschooled four children, and nothing has set me off more, really, than hearing when you address an issue that you're not happy with, and they say, well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's wearing it. Everybody's watching. Well, that's what I'd say. No, everybody's not doing it. Most people might be doing it. 80% of the population might be doing it, and they're ruining the United States of America. We're going to be the exception. And then about serving your master, it's not the master that you serve, the one that determines your fate.
Well, they don't believe that, though, Clay. They don't believe that. Listen, let me make this point, though. See, we're living in a culture and a society where 10% are abnormal, and those 10% are convincing the other 80% that it's normal. You understand the battle that's going on? And it's the silent majority that won't stand up because they don't want to offend the 10% who are screaming and yelling the loudest, and their co-defendants sitting around them who don't have the ability to think either. And so they're on the side of the abnormal. Folks, they're on the side of the abnormal. Do you understand that? Yeah. Do you understand that our civilization will not continue if men marry men and women marry men, women? Do you understand that? We will cease to exist. That is abnormal. Why do we let them tell us it's normal? That's our battle. Craig.
Coach, who's going to teach them? Joel Osteen? What's her name? Myers? Joyce Myers?
Reggie's going to teach him. And you're going to teach him. And Amen. Mark Trump's going to teach him, right? And Betty Perkins is going to teach him. And Steve Deck's going to teach him. And Randy's going to teach him. And we're going to teach them. Why? Because we are the normal. We are normal, folks. We are normal. And yes, we love, I guess, the abnormal. It's not about love and hate. It's not anything about that. It's about normal and abnormal. And we better rapidly return to normal, not social norm, not what type of shoes you wear and whether you wear a hat in church and whether you wear a tie. Those are all offshoots of normality. That's a different issue. But the fact that there is a normal, and the normal is clearly spelled out by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we cannot win without fighting that fight. Kevin, come on in.
Yeah, so Coach, yesterday I was reading on an experiment that was conducted in the 1960s. I think it was called the Asha experiment. It was called that. It was named after the doctor that conducted it. And in it, what they found was that between 70 and 75% of the test subjects would go along with a false narrative that they knew was false, okay, just to go along to get along. And only
like wearing a mask, you mean? You mean like wearing a mask?
Yes, yes. So basically, they would go along. So that meant that 70 to 75 out of 100 test subjects, even though 100 test subjects knew that the narrative was false, they would go against what they knew to be true just to go along to get along.
Okay, so Kevin, Kevin, has wearing a mask become normal?
Well, they've tried to normalize it.
Well, no, that's not what I ask you. Has it become normal?
It's not normal. No, it's not normal, but they make it seem normal.
Do we act like it's normal?
We yes, exactly. And that comes down to two things that showed me. One, that demonstrates a real lack of courage, okay? That's endemic. And then two, what it demonstrated to me was the need for a strong, loud counter-narrative, always to battle against that narrative, to have just as loud of a voice. Would you agree?
That's what it's all about, man. Stand up and speak up. Jesus said, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate. Who's going to hate you? The abnormal are going to hate you. And the abnormal are constantly going to try to recruit you to their side. The abnormal are going to tell you that they were born that way. And you are a bigot if you question the way they were born. Folks, that's the way the game is played. And unless your name is Reggie, you just don't say anything because you don't want the fight. And so what happens? Abnormal becomes normal. That's where we are. Come on in, Reg. Then Mike.
I don't know if that's an insult or not, Coach.
Take it however you want.
I do. I take it good because I am normal. But like
you are normal.
When I was living in upstate New York, I would walk into a Wegmans when all this stopped, and I'd always end up in a big fight, telling every single person there, "You guys are not normal. This is not normal." And nobody wanted to go to the grocery store with me because I would end up in a fight, and people would be in my face, and I would be in their face. But you know, going back with the kids, when I raised the kids, all the kids, I was homeschooling them forever. But I had some circumstances that changed that situation, and I had no choice. I had to put them, and I tried to do my best, so I did a charter school. You know, all my kids, it breaks my heart. They were like, they had no friends. People said that they were not normal, but they were normal. They were just
normal. No, Reggie, homeschoolers are not normal because they don't get socialization, right? They're not normal kids. In other words, they don't want to have sex with the same sex. They're not normal. Reggie, they don't want to dress like the opposite sex. They're not normal. Reggie, they don't accept homosexuality. They're not normal. Do you see what they're doing to us?
Yeah.
Folks, you see what they're doing to us?
They're creating schools of our own.
Hey, folks, I hate to tell you this. If you don't wear a mask, you're abnormal. In today's society, you're abnormal. Every kid in that class, I asked them again yesterday, they all had masks on. Why are you wearing a mask? Folks, it is normal to wear a mask. You're abnormal if you don't. Mike Heath, come on in, then Lisa. Can't hear you, Mike.
We've got maybe 5 or 6 years to make the decision about how normal is going to be defined politically and culturally. I don't think we've got more time than that. And we may actually, the clock may actually have run out. The issue is we still live under a bit of a constitutional republic, but it's a constitutional republic that has taken away any kind of fidelity to the Constitution or even awareness of the Constitution. Any knowledge of the Constitution and its role in governing the debate over what is normal and how normal comes to be practiced and defined in our laws. We've lost that power now, that opportunity. And so we're going to decide in the next 4, 5, 6 years whether we're going to continue as an oligarchy, which is what we are now, with the power being money, the concentration of wealth in few hands, or whether we're going to restore or develop a path forward that is a constitutional republic. So we're a constitutional republic on paper, but we are not a constitutional republic in practice. And the only institution that can make this happen is the church.
Because only the church has the ability to transform, folks.
And in my experience, Coach, here in Maine, I'm campaigning earnestly now. The church is the weakest, most cowardly institution that I'm running into.
That's one of the arguments people make against the church. Who was it said religion is the opiate of the people, and that religion is for the weak-minded. You need a crutch to fall back on. Hang on, Lisa, just a second, Larry, just a second. I got to point this out real quickly. Hey, Spencer, pull up the word delude. I think it's, you see it down there, delude. It's about the third thing down. Delude is to deceive, to impose on, to lead from truth or into error, to mislead the mind or judgment, to beguile. Cheat is generally applied to deception. You don't want to go to work for somebody who's a cheater, do you? Delude is to delude to deception and opinion. An artful politician, man, deludes his followers. We're often deluded by false appearances. Those girls on those Playboy magazines have been photoshopped. All their warts have been removed. All the hair under their arms. They've even shaved their private parts. It's fake. It's all fake. And what does delude do? Why? To frustrate or disappoint. Wow. And then, Spencer, pull up there that old deluder Satan law. We talked about that before. Talk about that in abnormal. Back in 1787. They passed 1647. I'm sorry. They passed the old deluder Satan law. Huh? Folks, that's normal. Right there's normal. The old deluder Satan. Put that in the chat for me, Spence. Because most people never seen that. That the people actually passed a law. It being one chief project of that old deluder Satan to keep men from the knowledge of the scriptures as in former times, keeping them in an unknown tongue so that later times by persuading from the use of tongues, talking about English language, that so at least the true sense of meaning of the original, scroll down, Spence, I'm sorry. I'm not going to take time to read it. They passed a law against old deluder Satan. Now, Satan's normal. I talked to him yesterday, by the way, about the spiritual realm, heaven and hell, demons and angels. They'd never heard such talk. They never heard it. I said, did it ever dawn upon you that your transgender friend is demonically deluded? Did it ever depend on you? I said, do you guys watch movies? You go watch horror movies? Do you see how they bring the supernatural in horror movies? Don't you realize that's real life? Don't you realize, this is a powerful moment. I said, don't you realize that some of those people who are homosexuals, same sex attracted, don't you realize that they were molested? Some guy in the front row about went crazy. Now, here's what I know. I don't know it, but I know it. He's not a homosexual, but he was molested. And if I could have given him time, he would have stood up and he would have screamed from the top of his lungs that I'm not a homosexual, but this happened to me. Now, I didn't let it get to that far. I toned it down. I brought some sense to the situation. But I said, I'm going to tell you something. If you think a lot of people aren't sexually confused because of what's going on in the culture, in the spiritual realm, then you have no understanding what's going on. Mic drop silence. In that room. Come on in, Lisa. And Larry.
Oh, hey. Here's another really good word. Shame. We never hear shame on you anymore. Like when I was a little kid and did something that was, you know, nasty or whatever, my grandmother would come up and look, you know, get down in my face and say, shame on you. You know, that's not right, honey. And so...
Dr. Spock told us we shouldn't do that anymore.
Well, we also should scream it, you know, at the gay pride parade or whatever. Shame we should on, be on the other side screaming shame on you. Just like when we read the Bible for the first, you know, we see a mirror of ourselves and we felt shame And then we felt remorse, and then we repented. So I don't know if it'll work, but that works. Really.
Shame's a good thing, Lisa. I'm with you. Yeah. Shame is a good thing. Whatever happened to shame? I have to dig that out of my archives. I did a video on that 15 years ago. Whatever happened to shame? Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, hey, I want to kind of stand up behind Mike for a minute here. I agree. The church is the only, and relationship with Jesus Christ is the only answer. And it's the answer for our country only in the sense that as it becomes the answer for individuals, it will have an effect in the country. And going out and trying to change the satanic social clubs into becoming the body of Christ is not where it's at. We are good. We need to go out and find Christians, find the real church. Get the real church unified. Don't go try to change the quote church, because it has made up its mind. It's decided where it wants to be, and that's where it's at.
That's where it is, Larry. And I'm happy to, as you're reading that, Larry, I'm looking at the old deluder Satan law, which is on the screen. That middle paragraph, folks, did you know that the old deluder Satan law was the genesis of public schools? And why was it the genesis of public schools? Because they wanted to make sure that in every township and in this jurisdiction, after the Lord hath increased them to the number of 50 householders, shall then forthwith appoint one within the town to teach all such children as shall resort to him to read and write, whose wages shall be paid either by the parents or the masters of such children, or the inhabitants in general, or by way of supply, as the major part of those that order the prudentials the town shall appoint. Provide that those who send their children be not oppressed by paying much more than they can be taught in other towns. And it is further ordered that wherever any town shall increase the number of 100 families of householders, they shall set up a grammar school, the masters thereof being able to instruct the youth so far as they be fitted for the university. And if any town neglect the performance hereof 1 year, then Erie shall... every town shall pay £5 of that per year. So the point was, they made sure in their towns that every child got a Christian education. A Christian education. Because they knew they would not survive if they didn't have a Christian education. And look where we are today. Come on in, Kevin, and then Betty.
All right, Coach. So I want to weigh in on the word normal. All right, when we say normal, really normal is dictated by whatever the societal norms are at the time. So what may be normal for one society wouldn't be normal for another. I think what we need to look at is the difference between normal and natural, okay? Let me give you an example. Look at those societies where they put, like, those gold rings on the women's neck, and then every few months they put another ring on, and then another ring on. It stretches their necks out about 5-6 inches, okay? In that society, that's very normal. In our society, that would not be normal. But even if it's normal in their society, it's not natural. There's no way to deny that that's not natural.
That's true. Now, listen, Kevin. I want to make a point. I'll let you go. I'll let you come back. Hang on. It's natural for a man to want to sleep with every woman he sees, but that ain't normal. Do you understand the difference in those two? You understand the difference in those two things, folks?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to come back to, like, the example of homosexuality. I mean, look at Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? In that society, that was pretty normal in that day, but it wasn't natural. And God talks about that, about, you know, what man or woman would do that is not natural, you know, that is inconvenient. And you see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, it's all through the scriptures, doing that which is Romans 1, doing that which is not convenient, right? It's not normal. It's neither natural nor normal. It's neither one.
One of the things, Coach, is that we have to be very, very much on guard when it comes to normal as to what becomes the new normal, what we allow to become normal in our society or normalized, right?
Well, Kevin, just go to that school with me yesterday, and you'll see what's normal. Amen. See what we're dealing with. Hang on just a second. Tracy, going to get you in here in just a second. Set up for me real quick, Spencer, at the very first thing. It's a video starting at the 14-minute mark. I'm going to show you something that's not normal. Don't play it yet. Go ahead, Tracy, then Betty.
Oh, my God, Coach. You're just spot on with this. I wish you could go in every school and talk to kids.
Me too.
Just, Just an idea, though. You and Michelle are both teachers. Have you ever thought about starting your own charter school? I'd be
many
the first
times.
One with my grandson up there.
Yeah, many, many. I thought about it. How about this? I thought about a boys-only school. That's what I thought about. Where I taught them virtue, taught them to be chivalrous. Yeah, no. I thought a lot about it. We need it. I promise you, we need it. Betty, come on in. Thanks, Tracy.
Yes, excellent show. Yes, I heard Shame on You a lot. But also a thing I heard was that we brought you into this world. We can take you out of this world. Today, if somebody said that, it would
call be jail services.
It would be jail time.
Right, that's right.
Amen, Betty.
So we have to understand that the new normal is not natural. That's where they're taking us, folks. They're taking us in that. So I got to show you this because this chick ain't normal. This is our dear friend Claudine up in New Hampshire. And she shows up. I think it's the school board, Milton School District. I want you to watch about 4 minutes. It's supposed to be three, but she goes a little bit more. This is, folks, this has to be the new normal. Go ahead and play Claudine for us. I hope it's loud enough that you can hear it. Can I say, am I allowed to say this?
I'm here. Hi.
Freeze it a second. She has some balls. Claudine has some balls. Go ahead, Claudine.
So, missed out on the last meeting. Kind of disappointed, but things happen. But I did watch it. And I have to say, the decision rendered on mask was disappointing. With all the information that's been presented to you over the last several months about masks, vaccine, COVID, I had hoped that some of you have done some research beyond mainstream narratives and learned where we are heading today and in the future. But clearly, our superintendent has not been updated.
Look, I'm nervous.
Sir,
the board members
do
are.
With all respect, the tactics that you imposed on the students, their parents, and staff is sheer tyrannical. In your updated notices and in the November 22nd meeting, there's no data shared as to how many students nor staff were considered sick or dying to render a decision on moving in class to remote learning. Placing students on remote learning because you could not enforce mask mandates is an apparent bullying tactic taken out of playground politics, in my opinion. And let me remind you that at the last school board meeting, as you are here, sitting without a mask, and at that meeting, coughing several times without covering your mouth, just prior to the mask mandate decision, the hypocrisy is just endless. I can't even stand it anymore. But with all due respect, I consider that you think that you consider recommendation of resigning. That's how I feel, as well as many other parents that I've spoken to over the last couple weeks. You're uninformed of the residential pulse of this community. I also like to recommend to the board to remove this privilege for the superintendent to be allowed to push any further remote learning. That is a privilege. Okay, that came from the state that you can do that. So I hope that you honor that.
Good stuff. I'll put this in the chat so you can get it later. Claudine's in here. Claudine, come on in here. Folks, hey, she ain't normal. She ain't normal, folks. She ain't normal. Go ahead, dear.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, that was I'm getting a lot of flack, but it had to be said. God really pushed me in there to let them know that they were wrong. Once again, this is a new superintendent that just came into town starting in September, and he has no clue. And in all respects, like even the his budget and everything. But this is what he did right before Thanksgiving. We've been going since June with an optional mask. Okay, so the kids had an option all through this time, but now we're having people get sick, and the children are getting sick. And the only way that he could help stop the sickness is by putting the kids on remote. We are the only town in the whole state on remote learning because he could not enforce mask mandate. So he took it upon himself to do that on his own. Mm. And nobody came to that were concerned about that, which was very alarming to me, except for, are you going to love this? The athletic director came to that meeting that I was referring to, and he was actually opposing masks all this time until that meeting, and he was wearing a mask stating that these kids need to be, that they were not allowed to play any games at the school because other schools were concerned about their masking policy. And it turns out that he is the wife or husband, I guess, I don't know what you call it, to one of the school board members who was also just appointed by the BOS, the Board of Selectmen, but not me, okay, because I knew that he was not a good person and he was a hypocrite. He first said that he was for mask option, and then he's the one, this particular man who is married to the athletic director, he's the one that proposed to put in a mask mandate policy. I mean, so, really, right?
Like, so the fox is watching the hen house, right?
Right, right. And then to come to find out at this very meeting that I'm speaking at, that athletic director was questioned about that the other schools not being able to come in because he told the school board that because we didn't have a mask policy that they couldn't play the games at the school was actually a lie. He didn't say he was lying. He just said, well, they just wanted to be aware of what kind of policy we had.
Mm.
So again, another hypocrisy move that just all along the board. And, you know, the part that is at the end, I forgot to tell you, Coach, that guy, Larry Brown, he's like our town crier. And he's always there making references of some type of speech or people dying or whatever. And he's an atheist. He doesn't even stand for the flag. He removes himself from the room. And he's the one that ended up quoting scripture at the previous meeting, hoping I would be there because he's always attacking my faith. And he's always attacking things that I say to people on a private level. And he's even come to the point to tell me that prayer doesn't work 75% of the time and then gave me a news article about it.
Folks, listen, here's what's going on. Go ahead, Colton.
I was on
the
offense on every level.
Were on the offense on every level. Folks, understand they are trying to make the abnormal normal and the normal abnormal. They are literally flipping our culture on its head. And I hate to say this because I always go there. Is your pastor talking about this, friends? Or is your pastor talking about things that don't have anything to do with what's going on around us? And the only answer to these problems is a transformation of our culture and our society through the power of the Holy Spirit. And for the most part, churches and pastors do not want to get involved. My wife will say, what are you yelling about? They won't get involved.
Amen.
They won't get involved.
Amen.
Amen.
That's my frustration. God bless you, Claudia.
So, Coach, go ahead. One more thing. Oh, the former school board member that had stepped down about a month ago, she actually texted me and she said, I am the epitome of white supremacy.
Yeah, that's not, my goodness. Folks, boy, oh boy, oh boy, huh? We are deformed. We need to transform. We're deformed. We need to be transformed. God bless you, Claudine.
I got to jump in here, Coach.
Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. That's all I got to say.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Claudine, this is off color. I'm going to say it. I'm going to buy you a jock strap. Come on, Captain Craig. Come on in, Craig. Go ahead, Craig.
Which one?
Southern Craig. No, Alan's right. The other Craig. Zero Craig.
Okay, Coach. I think we can even go really beyond normal and abnormal because that's subjective.
It is.
What we need to focus on is righteous and unrighteous. So when the Bible talks about Proverbs 30 or 29, it says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Right. So who establishes righteousness? Well, let's go back and let the Bible determine who's righteous. The first mention of righteous is in Genesis 15, when God came to Abraham and he made a covenant with him. And this is what the Lord says. This is the first time that righteousness was ever used. It says, and he, being Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So God is righteous. And so when God speaks on a matter and affirms it as good, that becomes righteousness. When God speaks on a matter and says that is bad, that is unrighteousness.
So wait a minute, Craig. So you're saying that right and wrong is not through consensus?
I'm saying the definition of what is good is defined by God, and you can call that righteous. So you can have good people that do nice things, and their perspective is defined by the world, but they're not righteous unless God has defined it as good.
Amen. Amen. The other Craig, come on in. Good point, Craig. Lost you again, Craig. Come on, what's up? What's up? Larry, come in.
Well, they said with the renewing of your mind, you know. And yes. these people at this school board meeting are just proving who writes their paycheck. They're not for the kids or the families. They're putting out their federal agenda or state agenda or whatever.
And don't make no mistake, they are renewing their mind in evil. They're renewing their mind in evil, Craig. That's what's going on.
Amen.
Paid by us with our approval and approval of the pastors, all that stuff. Larry, then Alan.
Yeah, I want to hooray what the one Craig just said about righteous and good. When you read Matthew 25, I encourage everybody to read Matthew 25 today. You will understand that you can do good things. People can do good things to the wrong group, and it doesn't count for beans. God does not want his blessings. He gives his body sent back to Satan. Simple as that.
Alan, Spencer, you keep breaking in here, man, for some reason. Your mic keeps going live. Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, Coach, just to let everybody know, especially the lady that was just talking, Jesus said this. He says, hey, whenever we believe upon him, it was in Romans 9, I believe 33, he's the rock of offense. So why is everybody going to run after us when we're running after him? Because we're an offense. That atheist that keeps coming up to her, hey, he's convicted. He's convicted by her lifestyle, by her example. That's why she's a rock of offense to his way of living. That's why he's attacking her. And listen, as much travel as me and my wife do, there's very few churches out there that's worth the crap. Very few. The only advice I can give everybody on this queue right now is start your own work right there where you're at. Just like the disciples did. What did they do? They went from house to house. When they got kicked out of synagogue, what did they do? They went from house to house. Start a work right where you're at.
Amen.
There where you're at. Start a work, man.
That's right, brother. Amen. Amen. Simple. It's pretty simple. James, come on in.
A thought just came to me, Coach, about Claudine getting called a white supremacist. I think we need to be ready to retort back and say that's not white supremacy. That's Christ's supremacy because he reigns in our hearts.
That's Christ's supremacy. And isn't it amazing that... See, she stands for righteousness, right? And because they cannot fight righteousness, they have to attack the righteous. That's it. But folks, again, as Larry said, it's what the scripture says is going to happen. We are fire and water. Sparks should fly when we come in conflict with evil. It shouldn't be compromised. Or as I said earlier, truth is not consensus. Hey, let's do this. Let's all vote on whether or not we should have to wear masks. Okay, let's see. 12, 1, 2. Okay, so we're going to do it. That's not how truth is determined. That's not how right and wrong is determined. That's why a democracy is dangerous. Because why? Because for the most part, people serve themselves. And every time they vote in a way that is most going to benefit them. That's why we cannot trust the election process. Because we laugh about it, but we say, well, there's politicians, they just say what you want to hear. Yep, they do, don't they? They just say what you want to hear. And if you stand up and speak up, you're a white supremacist and a bigot, an abnormal, and a freak. I'm honored to be a Christian freak. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.